Let's do it. I've spent the better part of my life believing that I took care of you. You know, the solo brother, the simple brother. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. Because you took care of me. I should have listened to you, Stuart. So many things. That I just pushed you aside and left you to your plants and your flowers and your painting and... I still have that painting, the last one you gave me. It's the it's in my study. It's the sunrise at the cove. It's a place that you wanted to take me to see so many times that I was always too busy to go. But I loved that painting. It's the strokes are so gentle and so rich. You painted exactly as you lived. Gently and richly. What talent you had for living and for loving. You loved me every day of my life. But I failed you. I failed to love you as you should have been loved. God, I failed to protect you. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
This week, we at the Pine Valley Podcast mourn the loss of our beloved David Canary. All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending December 11th, 2015. And we had an interesting end of November. I had a lovely Thanksgiving with my family. How about you, Jordan Hudson?
Yes, I had a very nice, quiet Thanksgiving, and I ate a lot.
Oh, very good, very good. Lot,
you know, as Puerto Ricans,
I had
arroz con gandules, turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, potato salad.
Did you do penil as well?
No penil. That's Christmas. mashed potatoes, potato salad, and sweet potato. My mother went crazy with the freaking potatoes.
Oh, that's great.
I was just like, is it necessary to make all three? Like, because you know what it is? Everybody wants something different. My sister likes mashed potatoes. Right. My dad wanted potato salad for some reason. We've never had potato salad. Never had potato salad. I don't know. He wanted potato. And then me personally, I like the sweet potato on Thanksgiving. it's sweet potato.
The white people call it yam.
Yams. Is that what they call it?
They call it
yams. That's what yam is?
Sweet potato? I'm telling you, sweet potato. Yams.
Really?
Candied. They say candied yams.
I always wonder what the hell was yams. You're telling me yams is sweet potato?
He's not kidding, people. He has a look on his face like, I just told him that Oprah Winfrey had a white baby. He is shocked.
But wait, let me ask you this.
Yes.
What do white people call pernil? Because I don't know what that is.
It's pork.
That's what it is? Just plain pork?
See, pork. Roast pork.
Oh, so they make it too?
They don't make it like Puerto Ricans do. I have never had a pernil in any white person's home like my mother makes. It's not even possible.
Oh my God, girl, I live
that. I can't wait for Christmas just for that. Like, my mouth right now is watering.
Oh, but are you making pernil or are you going to your
parents? My mother makes it.
Let me tell you something.
When she dies, I am so screwed.
You don't know how to make pernil?
I don't make pernil. I don't make rice and beans. I don't make pasteles.
Nena,
I don't
you make. You better learn now.
Oh my God, I don't make empanada. I don't make nothing.
Nena, what are you waiting for? Girl,
because my mother is obnoxious. I'm going to tell you why. I tell her to teach me how to cook.
Uh-huh.
She has an ego the size of Texas. Because she's like, I'm like, okay, well, how much rice? She's like, I don't know. I just eyeball it. Like how much you whatever you think is enough. I'm like, I can't do a recipe with whatever you think.
Yeah, but see,
how much salt, mommy? How much garlic? How much ajo? You know, maybe this much. And she points.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not just your mother. That's every old school Puerto Rican.
But it's obnoxious. Like because until no, I know, no, they, but Pedro, put, until it, I learn, I need a recipe. And then it will be instinctual.
Thing, it's an instinct. It's you know how they cook? Con amor. With love.
I understand
it's just
that.
Like they just do it, girl. I don't know how they do. Oh, hello.
But that, listen, stop it.
Did he look as good from the front as he did from the back?
No, probably not. He's wearing red sneakers, Jordan Hudson.
I don't
please.
Care. He's looking fly from here.
Oh, my God.
So let me tell you, pernil. Oh, my God. Listen. For those of you who've never had pernil,
seriously,
you don't know what life is like.
Go to a Spanish
restaurant. That's why I don't understand how Puerto Rican
and order pernil
can be a vegan or a vegetarian because I cannot live without pernil.
I tried. Once.
I will go insane.
It didn't work.
I would go insane.
I know.
I would. The mind just no. Puerco. No life without pernil.
Is it puerco? Is pork puerco?
I've heard. I don't like when they say puerco.
Because
though.
That's actually like a. It's more like a pig.
Yeah, puerco is.
But pernil is more like the
no,
food.
No, I say pernil. I never.
Everybody.
Heard
I, no, no, no. I never heard of puerco
no,
either.
No, no,
but
no,
I'm
no,
just
the
wondering
school,
what the
old
really.
Call it puerco. Yeah.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Old school Spanish Harlem Puerto Ricans call it puerco. They go, I'm gonna go eat some puerco. No, but I like pernil.
Well, we both had a lovely Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, we started a little quiet because, unfortunately, we're thinking about our beloved David Canary, who plays Adam and Stuart Chandler on All My Children. I believe he died right after Thanksgiving, correct?
Yeah.
Was it right after?
He died, and then for some reason it wasn't until like
the family didn't disclose it.
Yeah, it was a week later that it came
so
out.
So he might have died before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for those of you, and we should have specified, for those of you who live under a rock and still, you know, aren't like, because there are people that just,
no.
Shadow just texted me the other day. He only found out about
it
recently.
I know. He texted me too. I was going to smack
so
him. No offense,
like,
Shadow, but I was going to smack you.
No, but he explained why he's been busy with work and you know, and he's not like, but let's face facts, soap operas and stuff, like nobody's talking about soap operas and stuff anymore.
Even
my beloved We Love Soaps.net.
All seven of our listeners are.
Wait, even my beloved We Love Soaps Daytime Confidential. I can go a whole week without looking at those sites, and when I can't click on, it's the same articles from a week ago. There's nothing to report. It's sad. The soaps are dying.
Well,
and now, so has David.
That.
I mean, I got to tell you, I literally, when I saw the news, I literally lost it. I literally lost it because you have to understand.
You could do this.
We grew up with him. You know what I mean?
I think it was the 80s, right?
He joined
started?
All my children, what, 83, 84, 85, somewhere
like
in
that.
There, in the early to mid 80s. And
he was
with us to the end. And
perfection.
I grew up with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
This is the thing that is so different between soap operas and nighttime shows, because nighttime shows, the span of a nighttime show, especially nowadays, a primetime show, you'll be lucky if it lasts 2 to 3 seasons.
Yep.
But even a show that lasts 10 seasons, you know how many actors, they do a hit series and then you never hear from them again? They never work again.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Maybe they can't get another work or maybe...
David Caruso.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
You know what I'm saying?
What'd I say?
But David Canary was with us to the end of All My Children. He was even with us for one episode of the web series, All My Children. I mean, we grew up with him.
And this man is what I love about him so much is that this man is an accomplished actor. He was going to be a football player. He was offered a spot on the Denver Broncos. He said, nah, I want to act. And he went and he acted and he worked his whole life. First big stardom on Bonanza as Candy Canaday, something like that. I hope I'm saying that right. And then, you know, he worked steadily and in film and television, and then came to All My Children, thrilled to come to All My Children. Did a lot of regional theater, and came to All My Children so happy and feeling so blessed. When you hear him talk on those interviews, and do yourself a favor, people, go on YouTube. Go to the American Academy of Television, I think, mm-hmm. did some interviews with him. Go and listen to those interviews and listen to this man talk about his craft and about his work on all the shows and All My Children. This was a man who loved what he did, and he loved playing Stuart, and he loved playing Adam. And he was so intelligent about how he approached this character, because he had to create something out of, you know, pretty much nothing. They didn't even tell him. that Stewart was going to be around until after they signed him the contract. And so he had to figure this guy out. And this guy, do you remember Stewart started out as a wacko? He was like mentally retarded or something, and like tearing at like a art piece or that he was making with a knife. We thought he murdered. Who do we think we murdered?
But the reason they were doing that, it was very smart. But this, again, wasn't Agnes still writing the show at this time, or at least having a heavy say into it. It was very intelligent the way they planned to start. What we thought was that Adam was crazy. We thought Adam had a split personality because
stuff was happening.
And 1 minute she's with Adam and Adam is his normal self, and then sometimes she'll run into him in the house.
So great.
And
oh
he
my
seemed
God.
Off and he seemed different. It wasn't, see, now we as the viewers were thinking that Adam was crazy and that he had like a split personality or something because we didn't know they were twins.
I remember.
So it wasn't so
totally
much that Stuart,
remember.
That Stuart was a whack job.
It's no, just but we when they opened him, the door,
we were seeing him out of context.
No, but when
he had
they
a
opened
lot
the
of
door to Stewart. Stewart was hidden in the attic.
I know, but there was a reason he was hidden in the attic. It wasn't because he was crazy. It was because of the fact that he never dealt with what happened to their sister, Lottie.
No, I understand that, but I remember being scared of him. I remember being scared of Stewart and thinking he was a killer and he was crazy and he walked around like he was mentally retarded.
I remember.
Do you remember? Seemed like he was
not. I gotta tell you, it was me, my mother, and my cousins, we all stayed in casa that Friday to watch all my children. And again, back then, you didn't have...
no DVR.
No daytime confidential television.
No online.
Today was
no
going to be the day to reveal. You know, we just were like
you just
all
watched.
My children fiends. And this was like...
I would pretend to be sick. You'd have to be pretending to be sick.
We had a feeling that something was building up. And all of us were there that day. And girl, I still remember to that day, that ending of that Friday episode. Erica's running up the staircase and there's Adam and she's trying to run away from him. When she runs down, there's Stewart and she collapsed.
Oh my God.
And we were all like this.
That.
We were all like this. We were like, oh my God, there's two of them. We were like, there's two of them.
I'm holding the microphone away, people, for your ears.
We had the TV. We were like, oh my God, there's two of them. We were dying. We were like, oh my God. That was like the biggest reveal. Not since Nina. Remember when they made us think that they killed Nina off in that plane crash? That we thought that whole weekend Nina was gone?
Yes.
Not since that were we screaming about an episode of All My Children. That's how good the reveal was.
No, but there was a lot of great reveals on All
My
Children.
And then we found out that Stewart's ex-wife was Joanna, who had been like giving Erica shade the entire time Erica was in the mansion.
Joanna, was she the hired help?
She wasn't the help. She seemed like she was like Adam's maid, but she was really Stewart's ex-wife.
Oh.
She was Stewart's wife. She was played by the incredible Meg Miles. I live for Joanna.
What the freak does he remember this stuff?
Because you know what, because my favorite scene.
You're like a savant of soap operas.
My favorite scene.
Notice I didn't say idiot savant. I said savant.
My favorite scene with Susan Lucci and Meg Miles was when they were having it out. And she looked at Susan Lucci. She said, Erica, let you just remember, curiosity killed the cat. And Susan Lucci looked at her and said, but satisfaction brought it back. And I was like, work! And that's why Susan Lucci's fierce. Fierce! I still remember that line to this day because nobody could deliver it like Susan Lucci.
God.
She did her over the shoulder thing and she was like, satisfaction brought it back. And I was like, work!
Was that Agnes?
Yeah.
It had to be.
Who else could it be? But let me tell you something.
Real quick. What was beautiful about too Adam was all the relationships that he had. It started with Erica, and then I think the next one wasn't Marcy. It was a while. That was a while.
Oh, no.
Right?
That was years later. No, it was Brooke. Brooke was right after. Brooke was his next love right after Erica.
Yep.
I mean, I gotta tell you, I mean, I think that's why for me it hits so hard because you feel like they're part of your family. You know what I mean? It's not just an actor. It's just not just some, you know, David has been with me since he joined All My Children, you know? And it's just like, I gotta tell you, I mean, again, for those of you who haven't been listening to the Pine Valley podcast in the last few years, one of the things is
we haven't been podcasting in the last few years.
But we made a big reveal, and now I'm going to remind them that I used to work at All My Children. Ashley didn't want me to tell you because she was afraid that it might hinder my work there, and now they're not around, so now it doesn't matter. But I was a secret sauce. And
divulge.
I used to work there, and one of our listeners, I think it was Laura. Laura, I hope it's you, because otherwise I messed
Laura
up.
Laura May?
No, not Laura May.
Laura Connick.
Not Laura. Laura... whose name I can't pronounce.
Konicky.
Yeah, yeah.
Konicky. We love you, Laura. We both love Laura.
She was asking me on Facebook to...
We don't love the mysteries of Laura.
Oh, God, that show. Oh, my God.
But we love our Laura.
I think it was Jason. Jason put on my Facebook page, the only mystery is how this show's still on the air. I was like, where?
Oh, man, I wish we thought of that one.
I was like, that's fear.
All right, I interrupted that's you. Fierce. Go ahead.
So, wait, Laura had asked me, she said, can you please share a story about David? And I was going to put something on Facebook, and I said, you know what? I might as well just save it for the podcast so everybody could hear it. I'm going to tell you, I first met David before I started working on Michelle. I used to, again, for those of you who haven't listened to the podcast in the years, I first started out as a paparazzi. I was a big Silk fan, and I used
astounding.
To go take pictures
you
of
have the most amazing
soap stars.
Story.
And I actually just did it because I love my soaps. You know, I wanted to get pictures of them. One day a person saw my picture and was like, that's a really great picture. Can I buy it from you? And the next thing I knew, I was selling my pictures to fans and also to the soap magazines. So I met David first through that. And then working on all my children.
He was nice about taking pictures?
That's what I was going to get to. My story about David Canary is that in all the times that I've met David Canary outside the studio as a fan, taking a picture or working on the studio set, never once had I ever seen this man be in a bad mood, be grumpy, be irritable. He was basically Stewart.
Class act.
Basically Stewart. Always with that smile.
No, he was a combination. Always, you know why? Because he had the smart and intelligence
of Adam,
and the warmth.
Yeah,
and love
but I just mean
Stewart.
That what people don't understand is like we mostly saw him as
he
Adam
was
so
humble,
much.
Humble.
He
man.
was so nice, so pleasant. To work with, always generous and giving to his fans. And as an actor, I learned so much from being... That's why I get so mad when people knock soap operas, because they are a great training ground, because they are... What these actors have to do in such a short time frame, and when you get a performance like Kim Zimmer in The Fountain, or a performance like Darnell and Debbie have given us over the years, or a performance like David has done, that is a miracle. That is a miracle. We'll get into that. We'll get into that. But what I'm saying is, like, this man was a class act, one of the most talented actors. And my story is, I remember going on set one day. We were shooting these hospital scenes. And I forgive me if I may be mistaken. I think Liza, miscarried a child that her and Adam were supposed to be having. I think that was what the storyline. But him and Marcy had the first three scenes of the day. They were shooting. And at this time, all my children were shooting what we call block dress tape. In other words, they would just literally get on set, block it, dress it, tape it.
Dress rehearsal, people.
In the old days, for those of you who don't know, in the old days, the soap operas used to actually... Remember how the soap opera stars used to complain?
Live,
no, they didn't shoot live. I'm talking about in the 80s, not in the 60s or 50s.
They used to rehearse the whole thing.
Yeah. In
the
old days, the soap opera... When these actors used to quit because they were burnt, they really were burnt. They were earning their money back then.
Yeah.
Because they were on literally every day. So they were working Monday through Friday. And the soap operas used to shoot... literally from like 7 in the morning to maybe 9, 10 at night. Like they would block the entire show in the morning, set by set in order of the episode. And then they would go to lunch.
Right?
And then they would rehearse the entire episode again. Then take another like afternoon break and then start shooting.
Right.
So I don't know how they devised the whole block dress tape, but needless to say, it was a much
quicker... They
probably
did it based on, like, regular TV.
Trying to save money,
I think it's more money. Trying regular TV or, like,
no,
like you were rehearsing a play.
It was saving them money to do it this
Why?
Way.
Why?
Because it was saving them time and money. Well, Frank, actually, at One Night to Live, took it a little bit further, and they started taping out of order. They would block dress tape by sets so that you would save time.
Right.
So... this day, Marcy and David had to come and do these heavy, dramatic scenes at like 9 in the morning. And they had very little time. You know, literally their call time was like, I think, 7 or 8. They did like a quick dry rehearsal in the rehearsal room. And then they went up on set.
Right.
And they were done in like less than 30 minutes. These three powerful scenes with Marcy Walker giving full Liza, crying. David was there crying. He was telling Eliza he loved her. And I just sat there in awe of both of them, but especially David, because he was just magic to watch. To be on set and see him. There were times where I was on set and I would see him. They were shooting the David Stewart scenes. And they would have to shoot it with David. And they had his stunt double. They would shoot from the back. That looked a lot like David from the back. And then David would have to go and change.
Right.
And then come back and do it. And to see him. The thing that I love about him, and the only other actor that I know that has done it as convincing as David, has been Ellen Wheeler. On Another World, she played Marley and Victoria. And the thing that I loved about the two of them is that they didn't have, like, these movie stars. They didn't put a prosthetic nose. They didn't do anything drastic. It was just a matter of body language, the tonality of the voice, the tone of the voice, changing the mannerisms.
Right.
It's such little minute things. But all of a sudden, there's this different person. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching him, and I'm just in awe because it's like he's no longer Adam. He's Stuart.
Yeah.
And I just was like, wow, I want to be just like him.
I know, but Carlos used to have a little bit of fun because Stuart, whenever Stuart would come out, it'd be like, mess his hair a little bit and take one collar out and one collar in. The collar tuck won't be tucked in, will be out of the vest or out of the sweater. It was a little ridiculous.
Oh, but I loved me some Stuart.
Well, especially, I mean, if you really want to go back to some of the most beautiful work I think David Canary ever did, go to the scenes with Cindy and Stuart. Stuart and Cindy.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah. Breathtakingly, like, I can't believe we were so blessed that we had a storyline like that, that we had actors doing that storyline like that. It is just, I mean, I just think about it, and I tear up. I mean, the love and the care and the talent that these people had and the respect for the storyline and material and the show. You know, you were saying before about, you know, people don't give soap operas respect. That's a load of shit because all TV right now is soap opera.
Oh, no, wait.
I'm agreeing with you. What I'm saying is this bullshit that people could say, well, daytime soap operas are garbage. That's bull because nighttime soap operas are the same exact thing with a bigger budget. That's it. And some of them aren't even as good.
Because they don't have
the development, the development. I agree with you. So it's like so frustrating to hear.
I feel like anything that's a continuing story is a soap opera. I'm sorry.
Of course
Grey's Anatomy,
absolutely.
Mad Men,
all soap operas. Breaking Bad was a soap opera. I mean, all Homeland, all of these shows.
If you have a continuing story, Nene, you're a soap opera.
So don't be like...
Don't be hating.
That's right. Don't be hating on our shows.
Don't be hating. I mean, I will say this.
I wouldn't mind some bigger budgets.
Daytime ain't what it used to be. Like those days of you know, people don't realize, you know, we're not going to lie. All My Children was horrible that last decade. I mean, the 2000 and what Brian Franz did to that show was horrible. Horrible. But that does not negate what Agnes Nixon created, what we saw in the 70s and 80s and most of the 90s. Mm-hmm. That what Brian Franz did, that does not destroy the legacy. Mm-hmm. The legacy of what? Because we still have the memories. We have the memories of Roof, the original Roof.
Beautiful.
Giving that incredible speech about Vietnam War and when she thought her son Phil died in it. When we still have Jesse and Angie being the first African American black, whichever one politically correct thing you want to say, super couple.
And they were just a super couple in their own right.
Hello.
We all tuned in to see Angie and Jesse. I don't care what color you were.
Exactly. You know, that's what you call breaking down racial barriers. You know what I mean?
People don't give
Debbie and Darnell enough credit.
I think people do. I think people recognize.
I mean, let's be real. I mean, Jesse and Angie, and let's be real about something else. There has been no couple of color like the two of them.
No, agreed.
That have reached their kind of level.
Agreed.
You're right. Think about when they came out. It was the 80s.
It's a testament to a couple of things. The actors, absolutely.
Oh,
but man. Also the storytelling. Because when you give people shit to act, it doesn't matter. You could be Laurence Olivier. You know, it's not going to move people. It's not going to, you know. And the shit that I'm seeing, like when I have to turn in the GH and I see some of the shit, I can't take it.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I really have stopped people. I mean, this is a big part of why. I mean, I had children and I've been very busy. It's been my whole life has gone upside down since I've had three kids.
But daytime's bad now.
But the truth is that I cannot watch. I cannot watch. I have tried to watch this. The only episode I've recently watched was the Days of Our Lives where Bo died.
I told her to watch that.
So I watched it. And I have to say, do you know how many times I've watched Days of Our Lives? Zero. I've never watched it in my life. Mm-hmm. And I was laughing at a few cheesy, like, soap opera things that were, you know, popping up on the screen. And I remember I was so mad I didn't write them down because I had some funny things I was thinking about. But overall, I left the show a crying mess. Because what I loved about it, and this is something you were just talking about, is how we saw a relationship from a couple from when they were children, practically. I mean, Hope was a child when she met him. And he called her Fancy Face when he was dying, and it made me cry because that's his name for her. And I don't know so much of the story. I know that they broke up a few times, but eventually they were soulmates, right?
Yeah, they were soulmates.
They were soulmates. And seeing that history and seeing it on the screen, and they were a beautiful couple. I mean, he was a beautiful man. She's still a gorgeous woman. You know, yeah. She was always very beautiful. And seeing them grow like that, that's life. That's real, yeah. You know? I don't think the death was very real.
Well,
but,
you know, they were on a time crunch.
Jordan was explaining to me that they were on a time crunch.
I mean, I will say this about it. Like everybody has to understand, you got to take it for what it is. And I was telling Ashley, the reason I wanted her to watch it was because it's been so long on daytime TV that I haven't seen daytime TV using the elements that make what made daytime TV what it is. You don't see that anymore. And while it may not have been a perfect episode, it may have been a little bit rushed. That episode, you got exactly what Ashley got out of it. That's what soap operas used to be about. Don't you remember those days, those episodes where you would see the flashbacks of how the couple met and everything? We saw it with Jenny and Greg.
But
that's the thing. Even today's
writers.
Their
bodies are young and beautiful.
Seeing those old clips, you saw how brilliant the writing was back then. Yeah. Those incredible scenes that were, you know, everybody's like, oh, I'm so bored with soap operas. You can't. This generation has attention deficit disorder.
No, they don't. Absolutely.
They don't realize how important it is to sow those seeds. I was living for all those old clips of Bo and Hope.
They were great.
They were
really
so well written, so great. You really
I
got
love the
in.
80s makeup. It's so funny.
Oh my
but
God.
Still, but, I mean, I'm pointing out the stuff that's like cosmetic. But really the quality of like seeing those little moments, not big giant moments, not crazy moments, the small moments that
those
brought
small,
them
real moments
that brought
and
them
you saw
closer.
Them fall in love.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was a real love. And
really
like
lovely.
And like for those people
great,
who don't know,
great job, Days of Our Lives.
Look, Peter Recco had left the show like about 3 to 4 years ago because of they had asked him to take a pay cut and he refused. He felt insulted. He felt that as playing Bo Brady all these years that it was insulting, so he left the show. And they had this 50th anniversary. They convinced him to come back for the 50th anniversary. Obviously, he came back in a limited time. Mm-hmm. A limited time. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe if they would have offered him more money, he would have stayed. I don't know the logistics of it. Some people are posting that he is now in a point in his life where he's kind of retired. He's moved on.
What does he do? Do you know what he does?
I don't know what he does. He's not acting, I don't think.
Do you have children?
I don't know if he has children. I know he's married. He's married to Kelly Mana Moneymaker, who used to be an expose. So, like the thing is that this is no longer his life. And he, you know, told them he agreed to come back for a limited time. And they opted to kill the character.
I had no idea. He had been off the air.
Yeah, he had been off the air for years.
That's so funny.
And in the storyline, they had written Bo off. That he, like, kind of deserted.
But where was Hope in her life that she could say, yeah, I'll marry you? Was she not with anybody?
No. She... In this show, Hope felt that he abandoned her because she had tried reaching out to him. And he hadn't come back. He hadn't come back to town. He was off on some mission because, you know, he works for the spy organization. Just like on General Hospital, Days of Our Lives has a spy organization. Everybody's a super spy. So, you know, she had given up on him and she moved on. She actually had gotten married to Daniel Cosgrove, who played Scott Chandler. He has been her love interest for the last year and a half as Aiden Jennings. They got married. Aiden was trying to kill her on their wedding night. Long story, you got to see the show to understand what was going on.
All right.
Anyway, so Bo came in time.
It's a soap opera.
Bo came in time to save Hope from being killed by her new husband. Anyway, getting back to
was
Bo.
Was there an insurance policy involved? I just guessed that,
yeah, you
obviously.
Just guessed that, anyway. But anyway, the point is,
you would think that he would want to maybe just be married for like a year or two before he tried to cash in on
the insurance
policy.
In the old days, that's the way soap operas would have played it, you know. But we're living in a day of attention deficit disorder.
So
they need to rush everything.
So.
But anyway, the point is that they had decided that they were going to bring Bo back and kill him off. And I'm going to tell you why I agree to this. You know why I agree to it?
Why?
Because Shonda Rhimes, who writes Grey's Anatomy.
Shonda.
Did I say it wrong, right?
You said
Shonda.
Sandra.
Shonda. Shonda made a beautiful statement last year when she decided to kill Derek off of Grey's Anatomy.
I don't know who that is.
Derek and Meredith were the
he
super
the gay
couple.
Guy?
No, he's Patrick Dempsey's character.
Yeah, the
lead
gay
character.
Guy.
He's not gay.
He's gay.
He's just got divorced from his wife.
Yeah, exactly.
What is that? I've never
heard
this rumor.
That he's
no.
So what's his name? His co-star used to call him F-A-G-G-O-T.
No, you're getting him confused with T.R. Knight.
No. He called Patrick Dempsey.
No, he called T.R. Knight that.
I'm Googling that shit.
Isaiah Washington called T.R. Knight that because T.R. Knight was one. That was years ago. Girl.
I thought he hated Patrick Dempsey.
No, he didn't hate Patrick. No, listen. This is what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
Patrick Dempsey defended T.R. Knight. He went against Isaiah and defended him for like that.
All right.
You're getting your story. No, Patrick Dempsey and Meredith and Derek are like the soap super couple on Grey's Anatomy. And she killed off Patrick Dempsey to quit the show.
All right.
And Shonda decided to kill Derek off. She was thinking of writing him off. And this is what she said. She goes, I thought about writing him off, but then I thought that would be an insult to the fans who invested in this couple and this relationship. This has been a love story about Derek and Meredith all these years. And to all of a sudden come up with some contrived storyline of why they break up and them living and
the
true love and everything. She goes, it just wouldn't be fair to the fans.
That's not brain surgery. Come on.
It just wouldn't be fair to the
fans. You gotta kill them off. Because there's some men that ain't leaving their women. You gotta kill them.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
And I appreciate that too. I appreciate that too. And my feeling, especially after seeing that Bo and Hope episode, the only way that Hope will ever truly go on is if Bo's dead.
I know, but they should have killed him off originally because...
Well, no, but they didn't. But listen to what I'm saying. Now she's free to move on. The cat. And I wish that General Hospital would have done that with Robin and Patrick. Because I'll be honest with you, that's one of the reasons that Patrick's storyline sucked. I actually like Patrick and Sabrina, but you know what?
They did kill off Robin, and
listen,
then she came back
I know,
from the dead
but that's
or some
what I'm
shit.
Saying. But listen... Patrick,
stupid.
Patrick and Sabrina.
S-T-O-O-P-I-T. Stupid.
I like Patrick and Sabrina, but...
Oh, please. That girl is so milk toast.
The thing is...
She's blander than blandy.
Listen, the thing is, Robin... We knew that Robin was alive, and because of that, it always lingered. You know what I'm saying? And I applaud Days of Our Lives for making that choice...
I call her
the character
Sabrina.
And I gotta tell you,
I like that. Sabrina.
I'm ready for some Hope and Rafe. I think those two have some... smoking
ooh,
chemistry.
I think so too. Oh, who's he?
He's the white guy who's playing a Latino.
Oh, man.
That's the only thing I don't like about this. These are like notorious for casting white people. It's like in the 80s, they had a whole Latin family. It was all white people playing it. Billy Huffsey, Lisa Howard, the Ramirez family.
We should protest. We should protest.
Horrible.
We should organize an online Twitter protest.
But I will say this. He's improved as an actor because when I used to see Passions, he was horrendous on Passions. But he's actually good on Days of Our Lives. I gotta tell you, I'm loving me some Days of Our Lives, but the honeymoon's a little bit over because they're already starting to do the whole writing fast thing. Kate Linder, who plays Kate, is it? I don't know what her name. No, that's not Kate Linder. Kate Linder's on Young and the Restless. I forgot the actress who plays Kate Roberts. Anyway, she did an article and she was talking about how she likes the new writers and she thinks that it's, you know, in this modern day and time that you don't always have to see what's going on, that certain things can be played off camera and it's a faster storytelling. And now I'm starting to see that and I got to disagree with her. I don't like that. I don't like when you start rushing things and things start playing off screen. The difference between daytime and nighttime is that we got 5 episodes a week to tell our story. We don't need to rush it.
I remember a time, though, on the Pine Valley podcast where things took forever. Like, forever. So there has to be a balance.
You got to find a balance. I mean,
and that's,
I'm not...
remember that's why we liked Frank so much? Not Frank. What's his name? Carlovati. We liked Ron when he came to One Life to Live because shit actually happened.
Yeah, and let me preface this because I know people think, oh, Jordan's a big hypocrite. He loved Ron one day and he hated. I liked Ron. I was never...
No, Ron went off the wall.
I never said... If you listen to all the old podcasts, I always said that Ron was a great head writer for today's generation of soap viewers in the sense that for those who are... I always prefer... My Agnes Nixon, my Harding LeMay, my all my old soap writers, Gordon Russell, all of them, Sidney Sheldon, all of them. I prefer the old time stuff because they would play, they would write it like a play. You know?
Yes.
I remember Harding LeMay talking about Another World, and he said, I looked at every storyline as a play. It was a three-act play. And he would structure his storylines like that. And I'm sorry, I like, well, you told me what you liked about watching Bone Hope's Religion. That's what I want to see.
No, I agree.
They just had a, my new couple in Days of Our Lives, the young couple that I'm rooting for. Mm-hmm. Ooh, hello. Who's this in the
studio? Opening windows.
Right there. Hello.
Oh my God.
Could hold on to his hair.
He is like a child.
He is not a child. Did you not see that beard?
He's on a skateboard.
Oh, so because he's on a skateboard, he's a child. You know how many?
He's carrying an Elmo doll. He's carrying an Elmo doll
to Williamsburg. You'll see a whole bunch of.
He missed my joke.
He is not carrying an Elmo doll. You're so stupid. Anyway, yeah. So I.
He's wearing an Angry Birds T-shirt.
They finally have JJ. They finally have JJ and Gabby on a date. And they they're my new couple in Days of Our Lives. And they rushed them the entire episode.
What do I do? I gotta pee.
You really need to?
I really gotta pee. Go ahead. I'm gonna hold it. All right. We always podcast from this car because it's far more interesting. It's easier. I always gotta go quickly, so it's easier to not have to find parking in the Bronx.
I know, it's hard in the Bronx. But so wait, listen. So
we always see interesting things like ladies dressed in the burqa from head to toe.
We just saw
3 Muslim women black from head to toe. I was a little surprised. We don't see that much here.
In Manhattan, yes.
You do see it in Manhattan?
In Manhattan, in Brooklyn, not here.
Because most people come here so they don't have to wear the full gear, the full head to toe.
No, I've seen it around the city. I've just never seen it in the Bronx.
That's
you know,
rare.
The Bronx has become Puerto
rare.
Plata.
That's in the Dominican Republic for all of the people that don't know.
I'm the last Puerto Rican in the Bronx. I feel like I'm on The Walking Dead.
So instead of last man on earth, last Puerto Rican in
last
the Bronx.
Last Puerto Rican in the Bronx.
All right, continue.
So they rushed the whole JJ Gabrielle romance. They get together, they break up, they get together, they break up all in one episode. I was like, what is it? The characters meet, they talk about the fact that they're not going on a date because they're not ready. And then they're on the date and she's like, this is really going bad for a first date. And I'm like, didn't you just say in the other scene that this wasn't a date? Now why is it a date? And then in the following scene, all of a sudden, Kate decides, that's the other thing that I hate. They're doing what all my children does. They don't have money for sets. So Kate and I can't stand her. I forgot her name. I fast forward her whenever she's on, unless she's in a scene with somebody I like. They're these business women running this fashion label, right? And for some reason, they're always having their meetings at the Brady Pub. They own this business, this big, high-powered fashion industry. And yet, where do they have their meetings? At the Brady Pub.
I have a question for you.
So wait, it gets better. So they decide right there they want Gabrielle to be their spokesperson. So they interrupt Gabrielle on her date with JJ. And then there's this gay boy in the show who's half Asian, half white. All of a sudden, he's going to be the male. Why do you need a male spokesmodel if your fashion line is for women? So then they're putting the two of them together. They put the two of them together and they start taking pictures with their cameras, mm-hmm. with their cell phones, because they're like, we got to get on this immediately. And JJ gets upset and he walks out on her. And I'm like, this would be on a normal soap opera in the old days, this would play over like months. Remember when Jenny did all that with the modeling thing and Tony got jealous and all that?
So great.
Like, that all played over months. This all happened in the same episode.
I'm sure.
And then the scene is her following JJ to the thing, and she's like, I'm really sorry about that. And he goes, you know what? He goes, I already saw that movie, that stupid movie with Josh Duhamel. Win a Date with Ted Hamilton or something like that. Remember that?
I tried to forget it.
That was the worst line. Casey Moss deserves an Emmy just for delivering that line with credibility. He's like, I already saw that movie. I already know how this plays out. And she's like, I'm going to talk to them. I don't want, you know, this to interrupt what's going on here. And I'm like, but what's going on? You just said at the beginning of the episode that both of you are not ready for a relationship. Why are they rushing this storyline? So see, that's when I realized the honeymoon's over days. What are you doing? Don't start doing what all these other soaps are doing. You were going so good.
I don't know what gets into the heads.
I don't know. I was like, I sat there in awe. Like, why are you f***ing it up? I'm like, my show, because Days
don't make me bleep you.
Let me tell you, Days has been rocking for me. I'm loving all the veterans. I'm loving seeing Patch and Kayla. Oh, my God. Stephen Nichols and Mary Beth Evans are giving... See, you only saw that one episode. You didn't see the next episode when Patch and Kayla found Hope and Bo. I was a mess.
Okay, so So this is what I was sort of thinking about when I was watching the show.
Uh-huh.
I have to say, I have to correct myself. When I told you how many times I'd ever seen Days of My Lives, I said zero. Mm-hmm. I think it was once.
In the 80s.
And I think it was in 1987.
Yeah.
Maybe 1985, maybe. Because maybe mm-hmm. I was still a teenager. And I think I saw Patch is his name?
Yeah, Patch. Steve Johnson.
With that very same eye patch.
Yeah. Well, girl.
What?
He lost his eye.
All right, fine.
He's not going to find it all of a sudden.
I just have a little question for you. Couldn't he have an artificial eye put in?
Obviously, he doesn't want to go that route. And you got to respect that.
But
he likes his patch.
So it's 2015. I think it was 1985. Is it that long ago? Can we say maybe about 30 mm-hmm. years? Okay. So this actor every day has had to go to work and put on that goddamn eye patch.
Not for the 10 years he was in General Hospital.
And wear an eye patch.
Not for the 10 years he was in General Hospital.
They signed him back on. If I had to be signed back on that show, I put in my contract, no eye patch. Can you imagine the assistant that has to order the eye patches on the Amazon?
You're so
stupid. I could not stop thinking about the damn eye patches.
Oh my God.
He must have like, does he ever have a different one? Do they ever have designs? Or no, right?
He should get a bedazzled one.
Right?
Could you imagine Patch walking around town with a bedazzled like eye patch? That'd be hysterical.
Just really, come on. It's so distracting.
It's not. You know why? Because that's Patch. You know who he reminds me of? Do y'all remember the Brenda Starr?
Look that up on the
Did
Amazon.
You ever read the Brenda Starr cartoon in the comic strip?
I remember, yes.
Remember her love, Basil St. John, and he used to have the eye patch?
I actually don't remember that.
You don't remember Basil St. John, but you remember Brenda Starr, Star Reporter?
I don't remember Maggie Maple, whatever, with Adam or Brooke or whatever. I don't remember any of this shit.
That's because your brain is like Barneyfied. Watch Barney.
It's probably because I have to pee so bad.
I love you. You love me.
My kids don't watch much television. Isn't that funny?
Happy family.
Listen, they don't watch that much TV.
Huh?
They don't watch that much TV.
You mean you're not letting them watch Days of Our Lives?
They're not watching them. My daughter loves soap operas. My 6-year-old, but I don't really let her watch them.
What soap operas does she like?
Well, she calls them the soap operas because she doesn't know any better. But I sat down one day to watch, like, sometimes we'll watch like HGTV, like, you know, like Fix This House or whatever it's called. And the other day I sat down to watch Married at First Sight. And of course it's the episode where the couples are like, the one couple is like doing a naughty photo session. And she's like, Mommy, what are they doing? I'm like, they're just having a little bit of fun dress-up time. They're just dressing up. Sometimes grown-ups are so silly, as the girls in a cat outfit whipping the boy who's dressed in, like, leather.
Oh, my God. I think that's hysterical.
It's pretty sweet. But she's so upset because I actually let them watch. I sort of, like, close their eyes, and I let her keep watching. And she likes watching the relationships between the people. They're pretty young, you know, and she likes seeing them have a relationship, fall in love, not in love. Mommy, why are they fighting? Mommy, why are they not in love? Mommy, why are they, you know, why are they doing this?
And you should, because they're getting paid.
Probably.
But what you should do, you know what you should do?
What?
You should get General Hospital in the edit and just give them the little kids scenes to watch. Emma and Emma Spencer and, you know.
I feel like we have watched a few times when she was a little bit younger, because I always thought about my experience and your experience when we were little. So I didn't want to not.
Then you might be giving her the wrong idea, because then when she goes to school, she'll probably pick a boy and she'll be like, "You're gonna be my husband. You're the love of my life. You're my soulmate."
She's very independent girl.
She'll be like, "Spencer, you're my soulmate."
She has all these boys. She has all these boys already after
her. I'm sure she's a cutie.
One boy, Thomas, who's in love with her.
She's gorgeous.
And he had an opportunity. His dad was telling us. He had an opportunity to be in the reading group. They pair them. They have reading buddies, right? Mm-hmm. So he had an opportunity to be in the reading buddy with her. And he got so nervous that he was joking around and fooling around too much. So she complained, because she likes to read and she likes to study.
Aww.
So he goes home to his mom and dad. He says, Stella was my reading buddy today. And they go, well, how'd it go? And he goes, I blew it, Mom. I blew it.
Oh,
God. It was the sweetest thing. We were cracking up. He was so upset.
Oh, my
he
God.
He blew his chance.
Can I bring a camera over there and tape them and we'll call it Little Pine Valley?
It's really cute.
Little Pine Valley. Oh, my God. Like the little Archies, Little
but
Pine
can
Valley.
I tell you, that storyline would be infinitely more compelling to me than the shit I see on Gemma Hospital. Shit.
I still think it's better than what Ron was giving us, let me tell you.
What?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I still think there's a lot that could be done with it, but to me, this is leaps ahead of what was going on with Ron. Ron was, I don't know, man. Like, that was, whew, girl, that was a...
Do you know what I want to do? We got to wrap up our soap portion of the podcast. But before I do, I just want to point out to you, maybe it's me. I don't know if I'm just noticing because I loved All My Children so much. But whenever there's a passing of a great on All My Children, it really makes the mainstream news.
Mm-hmm.
Like NPR covered it, New York Times covered it, you know, all these media outlets covered it with a very tender tributes, with their own very tender tributes to him. ET covered it. I mean, I know Entertainment Tonight makes sense, but am I wrong? Like, they really cover.
Of course.
Like, you know, in a way that I don't know if I've seen other soap opera characters necessarily. I mean, there are a few that I'm sure they would cover. Like the woman, who's that woman, the crazy woman from, is she from Days? She was on it for many, many... I mean, she's like, practically dead. She's so old. She's been on soap opera for so long. What's that woman's name? You know who I'm talking about.
Who?
She once played a psychotic, and I used to yell at you because she went psychotic, and she was this murderous thing. She was on Days of Our Lives.
And she died in real life?
No, I think she's alive, but I think they'd cover her. See, I don't even know her name. See what I'm saying?
Eileen Davidson?
No, not her. Older than her. I think she was Days. I think she was Days of Our Lives.
I don't know.
Why am I not? She had blonde hair, sort of bobbed.
Oh, I really
bobbed
don't
hair,
know.
Blonde cut hair.
I think it was
Days, and she
I
was on
know.
For many, 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 many,
well,
many
I don't know.
Years.
Does it sound familiar?
Oh my God.
Well, we forgot to talk about another death in the family.
Uh oh. Who died?
Juan Pablo died.
Oh, Juan Pablo, our microphone. He died.
Juan Pablo, our microphone, died.
He didn't hold up. Get
no,
it?
No, he. He held up for many, many, many years.
Yes,
I'm
going to
miss Big Juan Pablo.
I have a little...
Now we got little Eddie Wang. That's horrible and racist. I can't believe I said that. And for those of you who know...
He's saying that because it's very streamlined. It looks like something you get in Japan. It's like a very streamlined...
And it's very
chrome,
tiny. But I can tell you, that that's a myth because I've been with many Asian men who are not...
Oh, is that what you were referring to? I thought
yes.
You were referring to the sleek
Japanese
design.
Well, no, we always refer
design.
To Juan Pablo as
it
big.
It is a Japanese mic. Uh-oh, it's blowing out.
Did it blow out?
Oh, no, it's okay. It is a... Japanese microphone. Samsung. It's not even Samsung.
Even this one you could fit in your mouth.
It's, oh, come on! What is wrong with you?
Well, like I was saying, I've been with many Asian men who are very well endowed, so.
All right,
that's
fine.
A myth. That's a myth.
A myth.
A myth.
What are we going to talk about next myth?
Did you see our new Latin Lives promo?
I did. It's beautiful.
The recap of season one, and you got to see our new actors playing the new roles.
Don't put me on the spot. I didn't see that one. I saw the intro that you showed me. That
no,
was beautiful.
Oh my God. Well, we just put it up. You got to look at it. We have a new promo that recaps the entire season one. We picked all the highlights, and what we did, because we have a couple of new actors, we had to recast because certain actors couldn't come back for season two.
Thank God.
We recast, and
he didn't say that I did.
This is your way of getting a taste, because we were gonna do it the old-fashioned way and be like the role of so and so is now being played by, but since
no.
there were so many,
I like that though.
Yeah, but there were too many, so we said.
Oh my God, that's funny.
I told Robert, I said I have this great idea. Why don't we do a recap
T-shirts.
Of one?
T-shirts. With their name.
And we can reshoot those scenes that we were going to use from season one with the new actors. We'll reshoot those scenes with the new actors. And that's what we did. So you're going to get to see the new Lourdes, the new Norma, the new Joe, the new Bonnie, the new mystery lady, and the new... Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
So, I mean, you'll get a taste of the new actors coming in and how they work with us older actors.
I saw the one actress that played the mother... That died, Jessica, the real life. The one we've been talking about, the one on Married at First Sight.
Yes.
I saw her on Married at First Sight.
Yeah, she's no longer with us because she got married at first sight.
And that's an act, you know, that's what pisses me off is that is like an acting gig for her.
What?
Married at First Sight.
Well, look.
And then she was almost psycho, dude. The dude was psycho, and she was paired with.
I'm going to give you a scoop. I'm going to be like Daytime Confidential. I'm going to give you a scoop.
Because he knows her.
I know her. She, you know, she was very honest with us. She got married for her. We were actually hope because we loved her. The audience really responded well to her. Everybody liked her. She was very likable. So we were holding out for her. We wanted her to continue. But we got to the point where we were trying to reach her, and she was still on contract with them. She couldn't come back until she was totally finished with them. And it became this point of, well, do we write the character out altogether? Do we get rid of the storyline for this season?
The character was dead anyway.
No, but if you watch the season finale...
Back to life?
Well, we don't know.
No, you
didn't watch the season finale. Are you serious? You haven't watched the season finale of Latin Lines.
I got 82 children.
If you would have watched the season finale, there is a woman who comes out of a car who looks exactly like Bonnie, Papo's dead wife. Is it?
Oh, so he falls in love with her.
I can't tell. You got to watch season two.
No, you better not bring no one back from the dead because I'm going to knock you out just like I would knock out Charles freaking Pratt-hole.
Well, you know what? Whatever. Anyway, the point is we were holding the role out for her, and it got to the point where we just could not hold it out any longer.
Get someone who looks like her, and then it makes more sense anyway.
We recast the role, and the new actress who's playing it is phenomenal. She's incredible.
What is the character's name? Bonita?
No. Bonnie.
She's playing Bonnie.
You'll see some flashbacks.
She's going to be named Bonnie?
No. Listen to what I'm saying. You're going to see some more flashbacks this season of Bonnie with her family, and you'll finally get the reveal of who the new character is.
All right.
So in season two,
I'm looking forward to it.
That's your Latin Life scoop.
I'm looking forward to the season finale.
I will promise you that in season two, we will find out who the mystery
woman is. Are you releasing everything at once or week by week?
We are going to release it week by week. I know that everybody loves binge watching, but...
I know, I love the binge, but I'm glad.
Please, you have...
Because I have to catch up on Transparent. It's starting on Friday.
Oh, my God, he's packing. Did you see that?
He's going to smack you.
But did you see that bulge?
But you don't know if he's straight or gay.
I got to tell you,
if he's straight, then he's going to hit you.
I didn't get the memo that guys are supposed to have no underwear or support when they're wearing, like, boxers and sweats.
They like how it feels.
I like how it looks. What? Did you see that? That was impressive.
We got to wrap up the show because I really have to pee. And I'm running out of battery.
So, yeah, that's your Latin Light scoop for the week. For all of you, watch the promo. Watch the promo. And for those of you who still haven't watched season one, watch season one. You say you love me and support me. Well, watch it.
You people, I have to tell you.
Like it. Subscribe to our channel. Pass the word around. I'm telling you, the best form of publicity is still word of mouth. We really need to get our numbers up. We want to come back for season three. We want the networks to pick us up. We're hoping that with season two, we get picked up from somebody.
And the seven of you that are listening to our podcast, y'all need to cut down on what you're watching so you can fit Latin Lives in. Because I asked people what they were watching, and I got lists like 82 shows long, like your DVR.
I watch almost everything.
Oh, my God. You need to leave time for Latin Lives, people.
There's very little.
I didn't start Dancing with the Stars.
Ugh, you still watch that?
No, I used to. I kind of stopped. But I don't see, like, I didn't, oh, and how's Empire? I haven't even started it, but I heard it's not good. I heard it's not great.
I got to tell you, I have not seen the winter finale. I have it on the DVR because I was so upset with the episode before that I couldn't. The episode before it, I was just over. I'm like, I don't even know I'm going to come back to watch the show. That's how bad it was. Yeah. I wasn't feeling it.
I heard the numbers were down, too.
Well, you know what it is? They're doing what Daytime is doing. They're rushing the storyline.
Yeah.
Characters all of a sudden are doing shit that I'm like, where did
they're
that come from?
They're probably also writing for ratings,
yeah,
as opposed to writing for the truth of the character.
Yeah, see, I find that there's a big difference between the writing in season one and the writing this season.
See, because did you ever watch Transparent? I never gave you my idea.
You haven't given me a good thing. Right.
The first season was so good. And then the second season is getting reviewed incredibly. Like, it's apparently incredible. Now it's real character development, and, you know, we're seeing the Pfefferman family.
I
want to
watch all these Amazon Netflix shows
really
because they all seem like they're better than
I watch
TV.
A bunch of them. I watch Mozart in the Jungle, which you have to watch.
You don't understand. I'm dying to watch it. You know
it's
who's
a
on
half
it.
Hour
you know
at
who's
time.
On it.
Gael Garcia.
No, girl. Bernadette Peters.
She's amazing. She's
freaking
amazing.
You know that's
amazing.
My goddess.
She's a goddess
I
in
live
the show.
For her.
She's a goddess in the show. I'm not kidding you. I'm not like a Bernadette Peters person, but she's so She's on the screen and you can't take your eyes off her. And she's so exactly that character, so unabashed that character. You're like, holy cow, she's amazing.
I'm dying to see it for her.
But the male lead is really great too.
I'm a big fan of him.
He's incredible. Gael Garcia Bernal.
He's an excellent actor.
He's Mexican.
One of my favorite actors.
He's incredible.
I used to
he's so freaking hot.
Let me tell you something.
I want to make love to him every day. And he's a shorty.
Yeah, but did I ever tell you my
story? So I could take care of him. Don't tell Carlos.
Ashley, oh my God.
Carlos will watch a show with me, so if he heard me say that, he'd be upset.
I had never heard you talk like that.
Oh my God, I want to lick him up and down like a lollipop.
Wait, I got to tell you this.
He's
did I ever
so
tell you my
good.
Story about him? I live for him.
You met him? Please don't tell me you met him, please.
Wait, no, it's nothing bad. I used to feel the way you did about him.
I just can't even take that you met him, because if I was in his vicinity, I would melt.
I used to...
The eyes on that
want
man.
Want him so bad. I was like, please, God, let him be gay because we belong together.
Let him trip and slip and fall into my mouth. Please, God.
He came to my gym in Manhattan.
Yes.
He was training with an independent trainer there. And they brought him into the gym and he was working out. And he came in. It was wintertime. He was all covered up. All I saw were the eyes. And the minute I saw the eyes, I'm like, oh my God. And I was flipping out. And then when he came out to train with the trainer, I looked at him. And let me tell you, I'm going to tell you this right now. You know how sometimes you see a celebrity and they look different in person?
He's better looking.
He looks exactly the same.
But better.
Beautiful, gorgeous. But you know what?
What?
I didn't feel anything.
No!
You know, that happens sometimes. You meet a person in person and... It wasn't... And I was shocked because he looks exactly the same. Beautiful, gorgeous.
Oh, he's so beautiful.
But in person, I was just like, huh. He'll do it for
me. I don't care what you say.
No, but he's gorgeous.
I saw Josh Duhamel in person once. Better. You always did this. Shut
him.
Up. I'm not even going to look
him.
At you.
I know.
You're lucky I'm not
look,
smacking
I
the shit
see,
out of you
look,
right now.
I could see
no,
what
shut
you
up.
See in him. I think he's a beautiful man. He's
he,
definitely
at that
sexy,
time,
gorgeous.
I told the listeners
he just
on
doesn't
this podcast,
do anything for
I
me.
Looked at him and my breath literally went away. I went,
he doesn't do anything
I've
for
never,
me.
I'm not the kind of girl, like my sister, I grew up in a room with my sister, older, 4 years older, and she used to have Sean Cassidy on the walls, Leif Garrett, Chippendales. I was like, get that off the walls, it's disgusting. I've never been like a person who, you know, admires celebrities and falls in love. Him... My breath went. I
can
like
see
that.
Why.
Beautiful.
He just doesn't do it for me.
And with Gael Bernal, I would love him.
I'm telling you, he is just as gorgeous.
I'm so jealous of his wife or whoever he's with. I'm so jealous.
I forgot who he's with.
Anyway,
oh,
great
you know
show.
John Stamos.
He's good looking, but
oh God,
I'm not bending over the
Hello,
table for
Daddy.
Him. You know
I'll
what I'm
bend
saying?
Over the table for him.
Hell no,
I will bend over the table
Hell
and
no.
then some.
But I will tell
I'll
you,
I'll bend him over the table.
So then, what else did I watch? Oh, we talked.
Wait,
about
did
it.
You see that picture of him? He
no.
just released a picture of his ass. I will bend him over the table
oh,
in a
yeah,
second.
That's nice.
Let me tell you something. He is. And I didn't feel him when he was younger. When he was in General Hospital in Full House.
No, he and
he
Rob
did
Lowe
nothing.
Are beautiful now.
Yeah,
very
I
beautiful.
Think I well Rob Lowe was beautiful then and now.
He was.
But John
then.
Stamos, I think, is hot. Some men, I think, as like Patrick
Lane.
Dempsey
and Diane Lane as oh. well. So beautiful now, right?
I would go back for Diane
I'm
Lane in a second.
You, she's
Diane
incredible.
Lane is well, but you know, I always
she's
think I always think women get hotter as they
I don't
get
know
older.
That's, always
that's
true
to me. Let me tell
it
you,
it ain't true with me. I'm not.
I'm sorry. You know why? Because
I'm still
when women get older,
not.
When women get older, they get more confident. They become
they
more.
They get a waddle. It's a waddle right under their neck and then the
whatever,
skin goes limp
whatever.
And it
hater.
I'm
sorry.
Saying this as a woman who's experiencing the
women,
waddle.
Women,
I'm so mad about it.
Let me tell you something.
I get this product called Nectafirm, ladies. You gotta get Nectafirm. It helps so much.
Nectafirm.
It helps. It helps. I'm telling you.
Thank you, Cassie Wesley, with your infomercial.
Well, listen, I ain't zipping no hair off my upper lip, you know what I'm saying? With the wax and the epilator. Poor Cassie, I want to strangle her.
No, but you're doing your own infomercial right here for
neck alert.
Cares?
It's not like a device,
neck
it's
alert
a cream.
It's a cream.
Neck to firm. Look it up, people.
Neck to firm.
I buy it in double, triple packs.
And it really firms your neck?
When I leave it, when I don't go without it, when I go without it, I did a test, I went without it. The waddle came right back. I swear. It came right back.
You know what else can do that for you?
Shut up. No.
Just let Carlos help you
Stop
out.
Us.
Say, Carlos,
that,
come over here. And I just need you to,
I'm
right here.
I'm definitely having
right
bile in my throat, and I think I'm going to vomit.
Do you think they know what we were talking about?
Yes, they do. He made a hand jerking off motion to indicate that maybe.
If you let it
the
sit,
stuff that
it
comes
will
out.
Tighten everything up.
Oh, disgusting. we need to go. We need to talk about something else. All right. So we were talking about the Amazon shows. So they're good. But then, what else am our viewers watching? They're watching, like, see, I can't do it, people. I would like to try, but I can't do those ABC shows, the How to Get Away with Murder and Once Upon a Time and the Grimm and all that stuff.
Well, Grimm I don't watch. I'm not going to lie. I don't watch Grimm. There's a lot of
Nashville.
Network shows.
I can't even do Nashville. Even though I love that. What's his name?
Jonathan Jackson. I will say this. I would make love to him, too.
I would make love to him.
Just like anything, I still feel that Nashville was best in its first season because the creator was still hands-on. She still had a... They got rid of all the things that I loved about Nashville in the first season. It's still good. Don't get me wrong. Nashville has some amazing performances this season. That storyline where Deacon's sister passed away and the daughter decided to pull the plug. And no, you didn't see, girl. Don't yawn because you did not see. Those were some raw performances. That was some Emmy Award-winning performances by Deacon and Little Miss Thing. But again, overall, do I think the show is as strong as it was in the first season? No. I applaud them for doing the postpartum depression storyline with what's her name. Unfortunately, that's what she's going through in real life.
She had to.
That's sad. That's sad.
That is a bummer. That's the thing that people don't understand.
That really is a real thing.
It's all chemical. It's not in your head. You gotta think about this. I know women who have never had second children because they went through such a bleak, dark period of postpartum. They wanted to die.
But think about how many women suffered this back in the day when they didn't even had it diagnosed.
They did.
You know?
My aunt suffered from it. Seriously. My mother had just given birth to me and my brother.
They just thought women were being stupid.
We were twins. And literally 1 month later, her own twin sister gave birth to her daughter. She had postpartum. My mother had to deal with 3 babies. The woman could not get out of bed. My aunt could not get out of bed. And my mother said, "Okay, Bella, I'm going to do this." And she did it. And she took care of all the babies.
And then
my aunt did feel better eventually, but it took about a month and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna kill myself for saying
what?
This, but I just finished watching Scream Queens, Ryan Murphy's show on Fox.
Oh, whatever.
I know that I hated
it. Is that the Glee guy?
I know I hated it, but you know, it was
one
of those things.
People say that too.
It was one of those things that I had to watch it. You know why? Because I could not, but it was like a train wreck. You don't want to look, but you keep looking, you know?
Right.
And I was looking because I could not believe that the network first greenlit this piece of crap and that they continue playing it. Like who was, I wish that I had the ratings. I wanted to know, did the ratings stay high? Like, how could this? Maybe they just felt like, because it's Ryan Murphy, we're just gonna let it play out, even though it's garbage. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I can't believe that this show's gonna get renewed, that it's coming back. It was literally the worst piece of garbage. Like, I've sat there every episode, like, My Latin Lies isn't on network TV, but this is.
So, what is good that you're watching?
On network TV?
Because the only thing I like on network, the only thing I can think of is Jane the Virgin.
I love Jane the Virgin.
I think it is so
Jane
well
the
done.
Virgin is a perfect example of like quality network TV.
It's smart.
It's so smart. It doesn't treat its audience like they're idiots. It's very tongue in cheek. It's very stylized.
And
it's
when
very colorful.
It's gonna go one way.
It goes exactly the other.
But in a justified way.
It's very heartfelt. Justified. Very heartfelt. Some beautiful moments.
Can I tell you what I liked about
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Who do you want Jane with?
Well,
you better say the right one. I'm going to hit you.
My heart loves Michael. But my brain loves the $40 million in what's the little baby Mateo's trust fund. Listen to me. I'm being serious. Like, that's a really hard thing because she does love him. He's the father of the baby and he's loaded. So it's like,
how do you not
choose that for your kid
no.
if you feel like he could have a really good life?
No, I want her with Michael. Michael is her true love. Michael knows her.
But what he did was, that's what I loved about it. That last scene where he melted down and he went to fight. What's his face? I forget names. I got mommy brain. What's the guy's name?
Which one?
The suave Latino one.
He's not Latin. He's not Latin on the show.
The
character's not Latin. They're like Italian or something. He's not Latin.
Really?
No, if anything, Michael's Latin. His last name is Cordero.
What the hell is going on in my brain? I always thought of him as Latin.
No, he's not Latin.
All right, fine. The swarthy guy, the guy that owns a hotel. What's his name?
I forgot his name.
Roger?
No, I forgot his name.
Mateo?
I don't like him.
All right, well, listen. He when he went to go fight him, he was so jealous of him and so overcome by rage that he couldn't get past. He was fighting in front of the baby. I mean, that's really true. Like, That's a really true thing that Jane really had to think about. Like, his rage and his anger towards the father of her baby was out of control. And she has to think about that. And that broke my heart. And he's such a brilliant actor. Do you love him?
Who?
The actor that plays Michael.
I love him.
I love him. He's so
good. I'm going to be
good.
So devastated.
Did you see him do a backflip?
If he's straight, I'm going to be devastated.
He might be straight.
Are the cops going to pull you over?
They might. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Let's take a pause. I'm such a goody two shoes.
I know you were working the police, and you didn't even have to flash the twins to show
them. I
should
have left the video, the recorder on, but I didn't want to.
I know you didn't even flash the twins to show.
No, because they pulled over. We're not kidding. We're in the Bronx. We're parked in the middle of the street. We're parked right by a fire hydrant, and so you know the cops pulled up right next to us. So I thought, well, maybe they need us to move because I'm right by a fire hydrant, and so he said no. He said we were okay. So, I don't know. I guess we'll stay here.
I know, but it's funny. You didn't even have to, like, flash the girls.
No, because I told the truth. I said, we're standing here. I'm sorry. We need us to move. We move. Because they're police. They're doing their job. They're doing their thing.
Yeah.
Come on. Don't be that way.
No. Getting back to Jane the Virgin.
All right.
I want her with Michael. I'm sorry. I love Michael. I love everything about him. And I wish that he's gay in real life because I would marry him.
I love all the arcs of all the people.
No, I love all the... I love the grandma.
Rogelio,
I love the
girl.
I love the fact. I got to tell you.
What?
That man deserves a freaking Emmy for his role
on
this show.
He's so funny.
What he does on that show is not easy.
He's so
to
funny.
To play an idiot. And play it so well.
No, because his character,
his character is such a buffoon, but to do it that gracefully, to do it with that, you need to be, to have comedic timing.
Right.
I mean, his performance is freaking unbelievable.
Right,
Sometimes his line delivery is like, I have to rewind it because I can't believe what I just heard.
So
there was this scene with him and Michael where he said something and I had to rewind it because it was so funny and so like one of my...
What? He's laughing.
He did a joke in the first season about passions on NBC and I forgot how the joke
did
went.
Did you hear the Scientology jokes and everything?
Yes,
I mean, that was hysterical.
Yes. I what was that joke about passions?
All right, we don't know.
I don't know, but anyway, his character's brilliant. The writing for him is brilliant. He is brilliant. And I love the fact that the grandmother only speaks Spanish. She refuses to speak English.
And I told my parents, I said, she's Puerto Rican. They're like, no, she's from South America.
No, she's all of them are Puerto Rican. She's Puerto Rican. Jane's Puerto Rican in real life. And so is the actress who plays the mother. All three of them are Puerto Rican.
And I said, no, listen to how she talks. She clips everything. Everything is clipped just like a Puerto Rican talks. And I looked it up. She was Miss Puerto Rico.
Oh. I believe it. She's gorgeous.
She was Miss Puerto Rico.
All three of the female leads.
She ain't gorgeous now. I mean,
she's
lovely.
You are such a hater with older
she's
women.
Lovely,
you know, you're going to be old
true.
Too one day,
I am
too.
I'm old. I'm not hating on her. I'm just saying, let's be real. With the Pie Valley Podcast, we got to be real.
I know.
Susan Lucci is like gorgeous. Come on now.
God,
like gorgeous.
Oh, you don't watch Devious Maids?
I don't. How's it going?
Girl, I'll tell you this. Season one, I loved. Season two was like, it was okay, but if it got canceled, I would have been fine. Season three was over. I was
really?
Like, if Lifetime kills this show, because season three was their best season. It was so off the. And let me tell you, Miss Lucci stole the freaking season.
She's incredible.
She had the own. I actually was able to find a clip of that scene and put it on my Facebook page. Her and Judy Reyes were stuck in the elevator, and she went into labor. And Susan was like this, and all of a sudden she took her shoe off and she pried the door open. And Judy Reyes was looking at her. She goes, "Where did that come from?" She goes, "The thought of looking at your unshaved lady parts gave me this strict." And you know how Susan delivers a lie. And I sat there like this with my mouth open, and I was like,
she goes,
"I have." And she climbed out of the elevator,
and she
looked at Judy Reyes, and she was like, "I've been working out for this moment all my life." And Judy Reyes, she goes, "You run, you skinny little bitch. You run, you get out." And I was like, "The show is over."
She's
I was like,
so
"The relationship between those two is hysterical." I was living. Like this show, I was like, "If Lifetime cancels, I'm gonna kill them."
I know, but
they
I didn't
renewed
like it.
They renewed
season.
It. No, I could see why you didn't like it. I loved it. But let me tell you, the third season was off the hook. Devious Maids, live.
Wow.
But I love it. All the CW shows. I love Jane the Virgin. Have you seen Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
No, that's what the listeners are saying. Crazy
Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh my God.
Let me tell you.
Is it really
good?
You talk about
network TV not being original, not being
creative. I hate network.
I don't know how this show made it on network TV. This show should be on Amazon. It should be on Netflix.
All right.
I would watch it. Let me tell you, when I saw the commercial for it, the original commercial this summer, I thought this is either gonna be the biggest piece of shit ever, or it's gonna be the most brilliant thing.
All right.
And I almost didn't tune into it, and I tuned into it. When I saw the first episode, I was like, brilliant. I swore that the CW would not pick it up. They just asked for more episodes.
Wow.
And it makes a perfect combination with Jane the Virgin. Have you not seen the commercial for the two shows?
No.
They go, one of them has never been touched. The other one's certainly a little bit touched. And her character. And the lead actress, Rachel Bloom, who plays the lead, she's the creator of the show and the writer.
Oh, all
she's
right.
Phenomenal.
That makes me happy. Like that makes me very happy.
And you know why you would love it?
Why?
She breaks into song.
Oh.
Like her character.
Like in Glee.
Not like in Glee. Oh. It's original songs. They don't sing cover songs. It's a musical within the TV series. And like her character is like totally certifiable.
Oh, that's good.
And like when her character starts either singing or hearing the other actors singing to her, it's hysterical.
I sit there.
But you know what the thing is? It's a very smart show and it's a very character-driven show about why people behave the way they did. It can be very deep at times. This show is one of the most, underappreciated, underlooked, you know, whatever. This show needs to be watched by everybody. I cannot tell you how much I love Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
All right. I'm going to watch. That's a big endorsement. I like it a lot.
Hysterical.
We have to think about wrapping up. I got to go pick up my kid from preschool.
Okay. What else?
And I got to pee.
I'm loving. Flash, Green Arrow, the new super team coming out.
Where am I going to pee?
You can come up to Casa de Hudson.
All right, fine.
You're going to have to find a parking, though.
Any other things we want to talk about? I definitely don't want to talk about current events. That's just crazy shit.
Let's just say
the world is going nuts.
It is a very scary time here in the world. Not just in America, it's scary because of Donald Trump. Let's face facts.
I can't talk about him.
You know, but
I hated him when he first came on the scene. Talk about Mexicans the way like that.
And it's only gotten worse, girl.
It's only gotten worse. Let's not talk about that. So what else? Was there anything else? I feel like there was so much I wanted to talk about. I want
to
make sure
there's always so much to talk about. But we only have so much time.
I know, because I got to pick up one
of your 82 kids. There's only so much time. I mean, I'll just say this. Watch Days of Our Lives. Give General Hospital a chance. It still has a pulse. There's still something.
Is there anything else going on good in soaps? Like, should we be watching Young and the Restless or Bold and the Beautiful?
I just can't. I've never been into the Bill Bell shows. I really can't. Did you hear Jason Thompson, who just left General Hospital, Patrick Drake?
No.
He is coming to Young and the Restless, and he's playing the role that Billy Miller played on Young and the Restless.
Switching.
Horrible.
Like, oh my God.
And I have to agree. I love me some Jay. I don't see him in that role, though.
What
it's going to be really bizarre.
What is happening with Alicia Minshew, who played Kendall?
I think she's probably just like you. She just enjoys being a mother of the 82 children.
I mean, she had another kid?
I think she has like one or two now. But the thing is, like, I don't know. Maybe she's a
She got a she rich husband. She's got a very rich husband.
I mean, people's priorities change after a while. You know what I mean?
She's too talented, though. That seems
no,
crazy
I agree
to me.
With you. But this is the thing. But how many soap stars never get, like, somebody like Alicia Minshew?
Screw that.
She should be in prime time.
I'd be auditioning all
she
the
should
time.
Be prime okay. time.
I'd be like, you know what? You, I'm getting out here all the time.
There's an actor on Days of Our Lives right now. I don't know why he's not a movie star. He should be in the movies. He shouldn't even be on Days of Our Lives.
I know, but then you could say that even about TV actors. Like, I think Jonathan Jackson should be a movie star.
Well, I'll never understand Jonathan Jackson's career.
He's so
brilliant. A perfect example of how it's not always about talent. Sometimes
he's
it's about
so
being in the right place at the right
good.
Time. Sometimes it's about who you know and who you blow. Because let me tell you something, Jonathan Jackson should have been a big, big movie star.
I don't believe
and
that.
And he did a movie. He did Everlasting Tuck. And he was up for the lead role in the Star Wars revival, and it went to that Hayden Christensen, who has about the talent of a brick wall right there.
I know.
See that brick wall right there?
Yeah, but that was George Lucas, yeah.
That brick wall
has more talent
than Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, I agree.
And how how do you look at Hayden Christensen and Jonathan Jackson, and you don't take Jonathan Jackson? Like you
that's some bullshit
that's
right
crazy.
There. That's some bullshit.
That's some cray cray cray. Like, I don't get that.
I agree. I'm joking, but I really
so
agree.
So, like, I'm sorry. I think Alicia Minshew is gorgeous and talented.
I think, if anything, more than that Rebecca Buttwig.
Girl, I can't with her.
She was good as Greenlee. That's it. That's all she's got in
and
her.
And I gotta I gotta say this.
What?
She was only good as Greenlee when Greenlee was with Leo. I'm sorry, Josh Duhamel carried her.
You gotta be like, well. I don't know if he carried her.
No, he carried her because
her character was different then. That's the thing. Her character had more levels.
Let me ask you this. Did you like anything with Greenlee after he left?
But I don't know if that was a function of her or the shitty writing.
Answer my question.
But there was shitty writing after he left.
Answer my question, though.
No.
But yeah, but let me ask you this.
No, they put her with Ryan.
But did you like her before they put her with Leo?
I did. I loved her.
Before she got with Leo?
Yeah, she was a little pipsqueak. She was awesome. And then they put her together.
I got to tell you, I watched her on Guiding Light. I hated her as Michelle. She was my I prefer even...
She was young then.
I prefer even boring-ass Michelle Bauer. The last Michelle Bauer was like watching paint dry.
I would rather
watch her than watch Rebecca Budwig as Michelle.
Well, I don't understand her
career. I don't understand her on General Hospital. I really don't. I don't see the necessity
for the character. I don't understand much on General Hospital. I try. You know who I hate more and more? And I know you defend her, and I can't freaking stand her. What's his name's wife? The guy whose mother's on the show that's his age.
Oh, the new
Lisa Lirico. Lisa Lissico.
The new Lulu.
Yeah, Nulu.
Nulu.
I call her Pulu.
Well, no, she's not Julie Berman.
She's as talentless as Pooh.
She's not Julie Berman, but I think she's good. I wouldn't have cast her as Lulu, though. I got to be honest with you. I don't see her as Lulu.
She's horrible.
You know who I thought would have made a better Lulu?
She's not the fire of Lulu.
You know who I thought would have made a better Lulu?
The one that replaced Christian, what's her name? The blondie girl that took a leave of absence and she had a replacement for a little while.
Oh, Jennifer Lilly? No, but Jennifer Lilly's Teresa on Days. She ain't leaving this.
I know, but I'm saying she would have been a better Lulu. Because she had some fire in her belly.
Remember the woman that was on All My
Children? No fire in the belly.
Stephanie Gabarish that was on Guiding Light. She was on All My Children that last year. She played the district attorney's wife who went crazy. And she was involved with, you know who I'm talking about?
Not one freaking clue.
I forgot her name. That she killed her husband and she was trying to frame Randy the happy hooker. She had blonde hair and then she got involved with Stewart's son, Scott. What was her name?
What the hell?
Her real name was Stephanie Gabarish. I don't remember what her name was in the show.
All right, fine.
But that she was a spoiled the senator's wife and that her father treated her like crap.
I don't know. I don't care.
She had long blonde hair. I thought she would have made a better Lulu than Marcy Ryland.
Pulu, she's just disgusting.
I think now she's actually good because she's actually got some fire. They're writing for her.
No, that's bullshit. Any talented actress would freaking run with a quarter of what she gets. She doesn't.
Julie Berman's Lulu.
They have no chemistry. They have zero chemistry.
Julie Berman.
She just cries at him when she's upset.
She's another perfect example. Why isn't she on network TV right now? She is so talented.
She was on Jane the Virgin for one episode. She played a prostitute.
And she's now guest starring on that Chicago MD show.
Oh, yeah?
And if they were smart, they would sign her as a regular.
She will get something. She has to have you, baby. You gotta have. What's her name?
Julie Berman.
You gotta hang in there. You are too talented.
No, but
soon all the other crap is gonna just fall away, and you're gonna be left standing, and you're gonna do good.
Chicago MD.
No.
I saw the first episode.
Oh, how was it?
Oh my God.
It's a real show?
Horrible, yeah.
Terrible?
It's part of that trilogy on NBC.
All of those hospital shows are bad.
They first have the fire, Chicago Fire, then they had Chicago NYPD or whatever, and now Chicago Med. And this was horrible. I saw the first episode, and I don't like scripted hospital dramas
besides St. Elsewhere. I find them all suck. I do. I'm sorry. I don't like Grey's Anatomy. I don't like any of it.
Thank you, 90.
I don't like ER. I don't like any of it. All fake.
I didn't like ER.
If you want to watch a real hospital drama, tune into the real hospital shows. Boston Med, New York Med, all those things. Real hospital shows.
Grey's Anatomy is a great hospital show. Chicago Hope.
I still remember some of the things I've seen on those shows. It is breathtaking.
I can't believe it.
St. Elsewhere is a good show.
You know what the two best network TV shows are?
What?
Good Wife. Okay. And Madam Secretary.
All right, that's what everyone says. I can't watch them. I don't watch. All right, fine.
The thing with Madam Secretary, though.
I should watch and I don't.
Madam Secretary.
It's still network. It still feels.
You got to watch.
You know, like this woman is having dinner at home with her kids. No, that's bullshit. No, she's a president. She's not in the free world.
She's not the president.
She's the Madam Secretary. Oh, sorry.
No, but see, you don't watch the show because that's what they talk about in the show. The fact that she's trying to balance it and she can't always. But she just had this great episode where her daughter flipped on her.
Listen.
Because her daughter makes no time.
The Mysteries of Laura is still on the air. That's all I'm saying.
But wait, the thing with the Madam Secretary is... All right, well, she's got to pee. We got to go. We'll talk about that another time.
Well, can we talk about it another time?
Yeah.
But can I ask you?
What?
Did you know David Canary made a cameo on Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No, I didn't know that.
When Larry was trying to buy Viagra, he went to the park late at night.
He was getting it from David Canary?
Yes, he bought it from David Canary. And David Canary was hysterical. He was like, get out of here. Get out. Go. Go. Get out of here. Like, he did the transactions. Like, get out. And he had this hot young lady all over him. He was sitting on a dark-lit park bench. It's crazy.
No,
I just wanted to end on a David Canary note. I wish I could more prolifically express the love I have and respect I have for this human being. And he had a real rough ending. But I hope that part of him left knowing how much he meant to all of us. And yep. What he did in terms of the integrity he had and the love he had for his work. And it just brought all of us so much joy and pleasure and excitement. And we love Adam, and we love Stuart. Warts and all, we love Adam. You know, he made him real, a real person.
But I think that's the thing we got to remember. It's like David is gone, and he's no longer with us. And I got to tell you, he died at a young age, 77.
And Adam and Stuart.
But not just Adam and Stuart, but Bonanza, everything that he's done. This man has left a legacy of entertaining us, making us laugh, making us cry, and we will always have those memories with us.
Absolutely.
So that's the thing to take comfort in. It's like
I hope his family and everyone in his life that knew him knows what he meant to all of us.
To all of us, how much we appreciated his work and respected his work, and what an incredible one of our, you know, that's what you can hope for as a person, is that in your life that you touched people. He's touched so many.
That's what I hope he knows. Like, I hope he knows that he left this earth touching so many people. Like, I think, was it John from Facebook? Forgive me. I think it was John from Facebook mentioned that, you know, he went through, he wrote a really beautiful, like, tribute to the experiences he used to have coming home to watch, you know, I think it was first Bonanza, and I think then it was All My Children, but he just wrote a beautiful tribute, and, you know, just thank you. Thank you, Mr. Canary, and thank you to your family, and thank you for everything that you gave us.
Our thoughts and prayers go to his family and his friends. And
absolutely.
You know, and thank you for you seven listeners for listening and sharing with us this time, talking about David and remembering our beloved Adam and Stuart and David Canary, and yeah.
We love you all.
I love you.
If you want to write us, you can email. I'm getting emails now. I got one from Terry in Toronto. Isn't that awesome?
Oh, my God. What happened to Terry?
Michael's back. She's back. She found us back. She just is listening again, which is great.
Terry!
And Michael's back.
She's not on Facebook.
No, she's not on Facebook. But Michael's back. And Shadow's back. The gang is, like, coming back. At least Susan and Elise are back.
Well, Susan and Elise I talk to all the time on Facebook.
I know. But still, it's nice to hear from everybody. All the Laura's are back. You know, Pat is back. Pat Brazel.
Laura May. Big shout out to Laura May. Laura May is such a big supporter of Latin Lies. Laura, I love you for supporting Latin Lies the way you do.
Well,
thank you
to all of us. So PVP at pinevalleypodcast.com. You can find the podcast on pinevalleypodcast.blogspot.com. What else we got? We got a Twitter page. We got a Facebook page. Jordan has Facebook. I have Facebook. Pine Valley Podcast has Facebook.
But I'm actually on my Facebook.
He's actually on Facebook. I never am. And, you know, we always welcome your thoughts and your comments and your suggestions. And as always, we thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to us. We love doing this for you.
Yes, we love it.
Okay. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
For Outstanding Lead Actor in a Drama Series.
Jack on The Young and the Restless, Peter Bergman. Adam and Stuart on All My Children, David Canary. Jake on As the World Turns, Tom Evelyn. Holden on As the World Turns, John Hensley. Eric on The Bold and the Beautiful, John McCook.
And the Emmy goes to David Canary as Adam Sandler and Stuart Sandler from All My Children.
This is David Canary's fifth win in 15 nominations for his roles as Adam and Stuart Chandler on All My Children. He previously won this award in 1986, 1988, 1989, and 1993. And has been with the show since 1983.
Thank you. God love you. I have such respect for this trophy because of the respect I have for the actors who are nominated year after year. I'm proud to be in your number. When I started on this show 18 years ago, I thought the most important thing in soap opera was tall hair. I realize that's not true. Most important thing, I think, in soap opera and most other things is family. The extended family of our, of the fans who watch our show and their support. And the soap opera family we have, the wonderful group of talented actors who I cannot name because I don't have time, who make all my children work every day. And the, basically the family that is my family. My son Christopher, who's brilliant, my daughter Katie, who is beautiful and talented and brilliant, and my wonderful wife Maureen, who's given up so much. Thank you, baby. I wouldn't be here without you. Thank you, all of my families. Thank you.